Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 162. We are going through a book called I've Got to Get Out of My Way by Rav Aaron J. Twersky. And the more I'm reading and looking and researching, those two people that told me that this book is gold and that it's key is becoming stronger and stronger in my mind. So far, what I have read, I haven't read the whole book, but I've read a little bit ahead. This is required reading for everyone. There's so many foundational things about life and about everyone literally, of human nature, of what they need to overcome, and to seeing things about human weaknesses and to deal with that is off the charts unbelievable. And people should buy this book, consider it like a textbook, read it again and again, and use it in a way to get through our own self-deception to really see what's going on. So the chapter here is called I Heard, But I Didn't Listen. We mentioned in the introduction when we first started this year about a particular person who blamed all his problems on other people. That's one problem. When you actually say everything in my life is this other person's fault. But near this trait is looking at the faults of other people, even though you're not blaming your problems on them. That's also a serious, serious issue. Meaning you're not saying that these other people are the cause of my problems. They may not be. But I always look at their faults. I always look at other people and see what's wrong with them, not what's right in them. So one recovering person, for example, said, I was always noticing character defects in other people. This person's a hothead. This one blows up for no reason. This one's a tightwad, is a cheap person. This one's a show-off. This one's a name dropper. Name dropper is when, you know, you know higher people and you throw their names in, like, oh, I know this guy, this rich guy, this athlete, you know, throw names out so that he wants you to think that you're important. You know, I'm an important person. I'm an important person. Or this guy's a blabbermouth. This guy's a know-it-all. And basically, not that I'm blaming them for my problems. I don't go that far. But they're all nonsense. This person's nonsense. That person's nonsense. He's full of baloney. She's full of baloney. And so on. Just knocking everybody. So what happened was, is this person got involved in the 12-step program because he was in the middle of recovery. And one of the steps is to do a personal moral inventory and stop taking everyone else's inventory. Meaning there's a time and place where you turn the mirror back on you and you make your own cheshbon hanefesh. Forget about that the other person is that hothead or tightwad or show-off or arrogant. That's taking other people's inventory. You don't have to take other people's inventory. Look at your own. And when he got to that step in the 12-step program, said it made a great difference in his personality and his behavior. That's why the tefillah of Rabbi Meilech before Shacharis, that many people say. It's actually, I think, as always, becomes like an Avram Fried song or something like that. Shenira malas chavireinu v'loi chesrei nun. Help me see the virtues of my fellow men. Or for women, my fellow women. V'loi chesrei nun. V'loi chesrei nun. Not their shortcomings. Do they have shortcomings? Everyone has shortcomings. But don't let me see their shortcomings. That is the hachana for tefillah. That's why we say it before. Is it brought down b'feirush and shulchan aruch seder melech's tefillah? No. I realize now, should I say it? I don't always say it. I don't always have time to say it. But maybe I should say just this one line. This is a shirish. You can't get to tefillah before this. Why not? Why is it conducive to tefillah? First of all, the similar reason why the Arizal says that before Baruch Shomer, you should have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah of the ohafta l'riacha kamoicha, We're not going to get into that now. A lot of Torah behind it. But why? Why the looking at the milus of your friend is a hachana for tefillah, and not looking at the chesroinus is a model for tefillah? So this he doesn't say inside the book. But firstly, this itself makes it conducive to make a cheshbon hanefesh. I'm not looking at their inventory anymore. I'm in Shemina Esrei now, or I'm tefillah now, and as I'm davening, yes, I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm also going to stay in Shemina Esrei, slach lanu, right, and asking for tshuva, v'chzreinu b'tshuva shleim lefanecha, v'tarli b'en l'avdecha be'emes. All of this has to be when already I see the maila of my chaver and not their chesaron, meaning I am turning and looking at my chesaron. Baal Shem Tov brings down on Hashem, it says in the pasuk, Hashem tzilcha al yad yeminecha. Hashem is your shadow at your right hand. What does it mean? The Baal Shem Tov explains that every person's shadow mimics his every move. He lifts his hand, the shadow lifts his hand. You wiggle your fingers, you look at the shadow has wiggling of fingers. Exactly the same. So if a person does not focus on other people's faults, Hashem won't focus on your faults. That is the idea. Shenire malas chaveirenu, when you're saying, I should see the maila of my friend, Hashem turns it on the head and says, I will look at your mailas. And then when you say, v'loi chesreinam, don't let me look at the faults of others, Hashem, like a mirror, will look at you and say, I will not look at your faults. This is not, by the way, this is not a contradiction to what the Mesilas Yesharim says in the early Prakim about Zahiris. He says that Hashem doesn't overlook anything. Hashem has a lot of rachman, but he doesn't overlook midas adin. If you have something wrong, even if it's a minor thing, Hashem doesn't overlook it completely. You have to correct it. Just as Rachmanis on how it's done, Hashem gives you more patience. Hashem takes a little carbon as much as a big carbon, and so on. Like the Mesilas Yesharim says, that does not contradict this. Hashem wants us not to focus on the faults of others. That's what Hashem wants. It's much to our advantage to ignore people's shortcomings. Because if we do that, Hashem will ignore our shortcomings. Now you're going to say, what do you mean ignore? That means he'll, it's not, doesn't mean that Hashem says you're off the hook completely and you're, you know, you don't have to do any inner work. Of course you do. Every one of us knows when we need to fix something, Hashem sees what we see. Hashem sees that we need to fix it. So we have to work on fixing it. Does Hashem see our faults? Of course he sees our faults. So what does it mean that mida kenega mida, you don't look at other people's faults, he won't look at yours? What it means is, listen carefully, he won't focus on your faults. He won't hyper-focus on your faults. He will see it, Hashem. And Hashem says he's working on it. I'll give him time. I'll be patient. Why? Because you're not looking at the faults of others. You're not focusing on the faults of others. I will not focus on your faults. Doesn't mean you don't have a responsibility to fix your faults. You do. But I'm not going to work with Midas Hadin here. And I'm not going to really look with a fine tooth comb. I'm going to allow you time. I'm going to give more patience with you. I'm going to allow you to sort it out yourself. Now, if you choose to ignore your faults forever and ever and just play blind, Hashem will, quote unquote, wake up on you and say, no, it's time to fix this. But kol zman that, you know, you're working through it and you just don't want Hashem to create a midas adin against you because of what you did and focus on that, then by not focusing on other people's faults, Hashem won't focus on yours. And he'll give you the time to do tshuva. He'll give you the space. So always remember that, by the way. It's very important. As you learn the Mesilas Yesharim, then you'll learn Svarim, like the concept of what we just learned about now, how to deal with shortcomings. Hashem doesn't overlook anything, and he sees everything, and you're accountable for everything, but not in a weighing down, oppressive way. not where you feel like you're choking. Hashem has rachmanis. He says, yes, I don't ignore your shortcomings. I don't make believe it doesn't exist, but I'm giving you time. I'm giving you patience. Work it through. But so as long as you don't ignore it completely and you're working towards it, I'm happy. So that's the idea. Hashem sees our faults. He sees everything, but he will not focus on them. He will not focus on them, and he'll have rachmanis on you to allow not to punish you, not to get frustrated with you, but to give you time and give patience to allow you to correct it yourself over time if you choose not to look at other people's faults. Why do we want to focus on other people's faults? What motivates us to want to focus on other people's faults? So Rabbi Tversky has an interesting thought. He says the reason why we focus on other people's faults is probably because it decreases our perspective of our own faults. It blinds us. It's a way that, it's like a deflection. Baal Shem Tov says, you see, the world is a mirror. The world is a mirror, right? So we are blind to our own shortcomings. So Hashem arranges us that we should notice them in other people. And usually the defects we should notice, that we notice in other people, are defects that we precisely have ourselves. We're projecting. In modern psychology, there's a mechanism of projection. Projection means that you are hyper-focusing on faults of others, but it really is reflecting on your own chesaron. It's talking to you. You have to fix your wagon. This is applies to everybody. Now you're going to, and even the big tzaddikim. So the question you're going to ask maybe on this is as follows. Let's say you saw someone fall into adultery, okay? And you actually observed it. I mean, you saw them going into a hotel together or whatever it is. You saw someone commit adultery with a married woman, okay? You know you, Baruch Hashem, never committed such a crime or nowhere near that crime. You never did that. You were never Aymed bin Nisan. You never fell into that trap. You never fell into it. First of all, even there, if you could do something about it with all the halachas involved, you do, but you have to be done the kaf schus there as well, by the way. Look at and say, learn halacha and recognize why people fall into things and be malamed schus, but at the same time try to help, and at the same time try to be have them move away from that. But that's a separate issue. But the point is, so what are you telling me? You could ask on the Baal Shem Tov that you're like a mirror. Big tzaddikim often are told about sins that other people did. That's what they do. They confide in a Rebbe or a Rav things they did wrong. And the Rav himself knows, well, I didn't do these things wrong. So what does the Baal Shem Tov mean? Look in the mirror, that the defect that is in the other person I have. What do you mean I have? He murdered, I never murdered. He stole, I never stole a penny in my life. He committed adultery, I never did. So what do you mean it's a mirror? What do you mean that fault's in me? And the answer is, it is in you. But it is in you in a more subtle way. This is how it explains with tzaddikim. If tzaddikim were told or became aware of someone that committed adultery, the tzaddik knows they didn't commit it in any way, shape, or form, but they look in themselves on the chazal of it, on the subtlety of it, and in a certain bechina, I was over on Gili Arayas, in whatever little subtle way it may be. I may have not murdered somebody, but if it says, it's like you killed him, right? If you embarrass somebody and let the blood come out of his face, or he turns white, he turns red, however it is with the blood, that you're actually spilling blood when you embarrassed him. So then you say to yourself, maybe the tzaddik, I never did that on purpose. I never killed anybody, but maybe the shem shemayim even. I may have been too harsh, even a drop, a syllable more, and hurt this person. And it says when you do that, and especially if there was another person there, it's as if I killed them. So maybe I did commit murder. You follow what I'm saying? So don't say that just because you yourself are clean from a particular sin and you see it in someone else, to say, wait a minute, this premise of the Baal Shem Tov is not true. It's not a mirror, you're going to say. What I see in the other person, I know I didn't commit that wrong. Number one is, we delude ourselves. Very often you look back in our lives, we see we actually did violate a lot of those very things that we see that our friends violated. We just cover it up and we protect ourselves and we don't even realize that that's the case. But even if that's not so and it never actually occurred in your life, it's what I said. There's a subtle aspect. You see someone, Mamash Dina Vaidazara, you look in the mirror, you say, I never served idols. But it says, Kalakoyes Kilu Avidavaidazara. If you sin with anger, if you're angry, it's as if you serve idols. For whatever the svaras are, the tiny has a pshat, other people have a pshat. So I may have not been over on Avidazara per se, literally, but I may have had some akpadis in my life, where the Chazal say, Ke'ilu Avid Avaydazara, and that's what I have to look at, and that's what I have to do tshuva for. Bracha v'atzlacha.